this time, we'll call on Pastor Bob Ludwig, and we're going to have one more little change here, which is to our benefit. And Rhonda Rosenberger will sing also.
Yeah. Good morning. Oh, I look forward to that day when they ring those bells, don't you? Home, and I'm going to switch mics. Okay, we'll just do that. So, okay, Connor, sit down. So I came to be blessed, which I have thoroughly been by your service this morning, and then was asked to partake too. So thank you. It's good to be back with all your friends. So when he was on the cross. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip. I'm just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind, for he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine, so unworthy of such mercy. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. A look of love was on his face, thorns were on his head. Blood ran down his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red. And although his eyes were on the crowd, he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine, so unworthy of such mercy. When he cross, I was on his mind. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind.
Thank you.
Then, you wanted me to preach first? I thought, you know, with this kind of music, you maybe wouldn't need a sermon, so we just keep on singing, because you guys have graced our service as well as our church with the wonderful gospel in song and music, and we thank each one of you that have had a part in this, from the bottom of our hearts, we really thank you, because it's been so wonderful and enriching to this service today. The gospel, or the text I've used for my message today, is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Let's stand at the reading of God's holy word. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. Paul was one of the great apostles in which he went throughout the Asia Minor and all the way up into Spain and into Rome when he was a prisoner two different times before his execution. Before he was saved, he wanted to go, and he had the permission from the leaders of the churches to kill all the Christians. And we see the same thing happening many places today, and it's happening even closer to home than what we may realize or what we would like to think. And we read about it somewhat in some of the papers, and in many of the news articles will not even mention it. But Paul here is telling the Philippians, we must make you realize that you have to have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord, your personal Savior, because he died on the Calvary's cross, shed his blood for you. He died, was buried, he rose again, and he's making intercession today in heaven for you and for me. And he wants us to know that our citizenship is not here on earth, but it is in heaven. And he stresses this so very strongly, not only here, but in different places in Scripture, we are told that also. And Paul wants us to know that we are to be steadfast in the Word of God, steadfast in our belief, and steadfast in keeping ourselves near to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we do that by the faith we have in what he did on the cross of Calvary for us. He wants us to know that as we go through this life, that he is with us, and he is watching over us, and he is protecting us. He is also giving us that freedom from the things that's going on in the world. He's giving us the freedom that we're not in bondage to the law, but that we have left that because we accepted what he did on the cross of Calvary for us, and therefore we are free from the law. And we have then Jesus living in our hearts and in our lives. And Paul wants us to see here where we can go or what we can do. And he's also showing us what God would prefer that we do for him and having him in our daily lives. In Titus 2, 7, and 8, we would read, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing too evil to say about you. Are we living in such a way that people that see us and they know we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, are we living in such a way that they cannot condemn us? Are we living in such a way that when they see us, they know that Christ is shining out through us and that all glory and honor goes to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son And we aren't looking for any glory for ourselves. And this is what Paul is trying to tell us, that we walk the Christian life as true believers in Jesus Christ, that we imitate the walk that Jesus had here on earth, that the people that tried to go against him, and we've seen that in the scripture where they brought him a coin, and he says, if it belongs to Caesar, give it to Caesar. If it belongs to God, give it to God. And he asks the same question then on each one of us. Who do you belong to? Do you belong to God, or do you belong to the world? And we have to answer that question individually. If we have Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, we will walk the pattern that Christ walked, and we will become more and more Christ-like as we stand fast in the Word, and as we study the Word of God, and as we see what God wants us to do, we will be willing to stand fast in that. And we can see that what Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, going back just a couple of verses to verse 8, he tells us, yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteous, which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. We are willing to die for Jesus Christ, and we realize that he gave his life on the cross. And you know, Peter even said, Lord, even unto death I will protect you, and I will let no harm come to you. And then a little while later, he denied him three times. And you know, that goes to show that our physical nature cannot stand up against Satan or what Satan wants to do with us, but that he would be, we have to have the life of Christ in us, and we have to have the faith that Jesus can protect us and keep us, not from harm necessarily in this world, but that he can keep us in all things, that in eternity he would give us our citizenship, which is in heaven. And then Paul goes on in verses 18 and 19, and he says, I was in weeping. I come and tell you of the people that have left the word of God and that they have turned back into the world to see what they can get for themselves. And Jesus tells us the same thing. If we gain the whole world and lose our own soul, have we gained anything? It's not like the old saying goes, of the one that dies with the most toys wins. That's not so. You see, we have to answer before the living God in the end, as we stand before him in judgment. In Galatians 1, 6 and 7, Paul was talking to the Galatians here, and he marveled even at this. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not really different, but there are some who trouble you and want to prevent the gospel of Christ. And we see that even in the world today. There are many that want to be, they say, politically correct, and they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. And they want to take away all signs of Christ and Christianity. And we must stand up then and say, the Lord Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and I will stand for him regardless of what you do to this physical body, because My spiritual body belongs to Jesus Christ, and I will live for him, and I will not turn to the ways of the world. You see, the people that leave the Word of God and turn to the ways of the world bring upon themselves damnation, and they bring upon themselves that in eternity they would be not blessed but condemned. They would spend their time departed from God and from Jesus Christ, and they would see how that they have forsaken what they could have been saved from, because they would be cast into the torments of hell itself because they trampled underfoot the gospel of Jesus Christ once they had known it. And Paul warns the Christians in the Philippian church, do not leave Christ. Do not take on that other gospel. And then he goes on and he tells us, even in Romans chapter 5, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Does that mean that we will never have trouble? No. We are pilgrims in this world, and live in a sinful world. We live in a world that Satan is dominating at the present time, or seems to be. And he is doing everything he can with all of the demons he possesses to try and change us and keep us from following Jesus Christ. And then Paul tells us that for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You see, they have no intent of following God, and they have no intent or no thought of what happens once they die. They refuse to believe that there is life beyond the life here. And they refuse to believe that God gave them a spirit and they were made in the image of God and they will be answerable to God Almighty in Judgment Day. And then he goes on and he says, those who live according to the Spirit do the things of the Spirit, because they have Jesus Christ in their heart and in their life. Again, we see in these verses that Paul in 18 and 19 is warning the Philippians of the things that happen if we leave Jesus Christ out. And then we see too that those people will not only forsake God, but they will go about their own life and they will think they are doing things that's right for them to make them look good. And they are living under the law, the bondage of the law, or the bondage of sin. And they have not asked God to forgive them their sins. They have not repented. And they have not come before Jesus Christ and says, Lord, you are the Lord, and I want you living on the throne of my heart. You're the one that I want there forever. And then Paul tells us, he says in Timothy, these are some of the things that the people live by when they renounce Christ as their personal Lord. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wrangling of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from which withdraw yourself. And stopping right here, we can see that the people that live only for themselves in this world will gain nothing. Jesus says, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, are you ahead? No, you're not. Because you have lost your soul and you've trampled underfoot the Word of God. Then he goes on to say, now godliness with contentment is great gain. And how many of us, so many times as we go through life, we'll see some of the people around us seem to be doing so well, and we'll see that sickness and sorrow may not be hindering them. And yet we know they're not walking with Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and we sometimes may wonder why. When we turn to Christ and ask him what he would want us to do, he would say, I want you to live for me. And in your weakness is my glory. And that's what he told Paul when Paul wanted to remove the thorn that was in his side. And he said he asked God three times to remove it. And God says, my strength is sufficient for you. Walk in my word. So we see now that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So the people that live for themselves realize that when they die, they take nothing with them except what they have, how have they lived. And when they come before the judgment seat of Christ, how are they going to answer the Lord himself? Having food and clothing, with these we should be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And then as we would go back into Philippians, we would see that here we see that our citizenship then, because we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, is in heaven. And God has told us that in more places than one. And he tells us then even in Ephesians 2, 6, starting with verse 6, and he raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places because we have Christ in our heart and in our soul. We have now a place in heaven right beside Jesus. And that in ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. For through him, through Christ himself, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Think of the glory we have, even though if we don't realize it. The glory that we have with Jesus Christ today, even though we're living in this world here below. We have that spiritual glory, and God gives us the peace which passes all understanding, that we can live for him each step of the way. And even though torment may come upon us and trials come upon us, we can turn to God himself, and he will help us through them, and he will help us to stay with him. And as we do that, we can see so very, very plainly that God is our Lord and our Savior. And he would tell us then in chapter 4 of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever so things are noble, whatsoever things are just, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul says, do these, and the God of peace will be with you. What a wonderful, wonderful way in which to live with Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And then we could go into many different portions of Scripture, and Psalm 91 is probably one that would come to mind, that as we have our citizenship in heaven, we also know that because we're living with Christ, we're under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, and He is protecting us there. And it tells us that in Psalm 91 and a couple different places there, that we are protected by His shadow of His wings because we trust in Him and trust in Him alone. So I pray that each one of us, as we go forward from this place, we would live for Christ in such a way that God, people would see God in us and they would give Him all the glory. We have been blessed immensely today in song and in music, and it makes our hearts want to just jump for joy and sing and raise our hands if we want to, but to shout for joy, "Oh Lord, you have been merciful unto me, a sinner, and you have given me the way in which salvation comes, and that's through Jesus Christ on the cross of glory. And you have made me a citizen with the saints in heaven because I have your Son in my heart and living for Him each day." Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us today. Watch over us and keep us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 149.